This is the first Sunday in Advent. Today we light one purple candle. This is the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know God and worship God.
Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. But now, Lord, you are our God. We are the clay, and you are our potter.
All of the work of your hand.
We look at the first candle, and we remember God's promise. God promised to send a Savior to his people. When we listen to the scripture reading, we hear the prophet Isaiah wrote about God. God is the potter who molds us. When we know that the gospel witness is the one who helps us understand that God is loving and just, God brings peace. This brings us hope. We anticipate again the birth of Jesus Christ, remembering that Jesus helps and knows that he loves us.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your son Jesus. Thank you for the words of the prophet Isaiah that remind us that you are the source of our hope. Help us live each day, allowing you to form us in a way that brings about your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Remain seated as we share in our response song called Love Has Come. It's verse 1, and the tune is very familiar, but the words will be on the screen. Love Has Come. Good morning. We're glad to see everyone this morning as we enter into the season of Advent. It's a season of preparation for the coming of Jesus. And so we worship today, learning and looking at Joseph and Joseph's faithfulness to God. And so he will be our character that we'll be looking at in the next weeks in a part of our sermon series together. We want to especially welcome those who are joining us via live stream. In the upper right-hand corner is a place for you to click, and then you can fill out a Connect card for us, as well as for us in the sanctuary. The Connect card is in the middle of your news and notes. We hope that you will take a moment and fill that out. Now, last week I asked people to just write if they had any affiliation with Dakota Wesleyan. Of course, in every situation when you do that, there were people who wrote Go Jacks and Yotes, and I was like, I didn't ask for that. But, you know, I get that we all want to celebrate the schools we went to, and so... But anyway, it was kind of fun to see those on the Connect card. So you see, I read those Connect cards, and I see who's doing what and where and when. So we hope that you'll take time to fill those out and help us out in ministry together. Last Wednesday night, we had a great evening of hosting our neighborhood as well as folks from the Bishop Dudley House with our spaghetti dinner. And then we went out and lit the tree, and it was a great evening. We had about 150 to 200 people here, and... It was a great evening of sharing and fellowship with our neighbors and friends, and especially those with Church on the Street, which was our mission of the month last month. We exist here at First United Methodist Church to make disciples for Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. And the way that we do that is through our vision to be, we do this by being a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Also, our project is coming close to completion. If you want to take a note, the chapel should be done this week, as well as the round table room. And so on your way out, we invite you to just stop by and peek in. There's still a little bit last-minute kinds of things to be done. But we're really thrilled with the remodeling that has occurred. And then after the first of the year, we'll be remodeling the fireplace room and the multipurpose room. And so I look forward to that. So grateful again for your faithfulness in giving back to God through our church. So we now will share in some video announcements as well today.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church. We're so excited to have you with us for worship today. Here's what's happening at First. When was the last time you invited someone to church? Did you know that 8 out of 10 people would attend a church event if someone would extend an invitation? Advent is the perfect time for you to bring someone with you to First. We have lots of opportunities for people to get involved this season. Coming up this Wednesday, December 6th, we'll be having dinner from 4:30 to 6 p.m. and then family game night in the multipurpose room from 6 to 8 p.m. This will be an awesome night of festive games and activities, fun for everyone in the family. We know that the holiday season is not always easy. On December 10th at 2 p.m., we'll be hosting a service of remembrance in our recently renovated chapel. If you know anyone who might be struggling during the holidays, this is a place to provide comfort, understanding, and support. Check your news and events to find out about all the Advent activities happening over the next month. And don't forget to invite your friends, family, co-workers, or anyone you can think of to experience the Christmas season here at First. If you have any questions about upcoming opportunities, please see your news and events. You'll also find an order of worship and a Connect card, which you can fill out and place in the offering basket later on in the service. Connect cards not only let us know you were with us for worship, they truly are the best way we can get you connected here at First. Now I invite everyone to stand and share in community by greeting those you're worshiping with this morning.
Welcome to the Sunday worship service at First United Methodist Church at 401 South Spring Avenue in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We're glad you're worshiping with us today on our live stream broadcast at 8:30 and 9:45. Today's sermon title is A Carpenter Named Joseph. Pastor Bob Rudebush is giving the message today. We hope you find the worship service a blessing for your life this week.
Let us remain standing as we share in our call to worship and prayer together. Will you join me? It doesn't matter whether or not you can have faith, whether or not you're cynical or despairing, hope-filled or hopeless. What matters to God is simply that you are here. We are entering the time of Advent in preparation for Christmas. Advent reminds us that if God is to be born again in the most ordinary parts of our world and our lives, that we need to prepare for it. We need to make the space in our lives where love might be born. Welcome to this tiny corner of a harsh and dark world. Together, let us practice being ready in the faith that Christ will come. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this day as we enter into this season of Advent, a season where we are preparing our hearts for receiving your Son Jesus into our lives. We thank you for the gift of his life and his teachings that truly change and transforms our lives. So bless us in our worship this day, for we ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Please join as we sing our opening hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, number 211, which will be followed by Joy, Unspeakable Joy.
Thank you. season of Advent is a season of preparation, and as we prepare, we continue to offer the very best of our lives in preparation to God in serving our neighbors and friends. And so at this time, we'll be asking the ushers to wait upon us as they give of our tithes and offerings and gifts to God. We also remind you to turn in your Connect card as well, as well as the mission of the month this month is the community outreach that does a lot of great ways of helping and supporting people to get back on their feet. And so we ask and offer our very best to God. And so we ask the ushers to wait upon us.
Star in the sky, we behold you. How could our eyes turn away? Drawn to the light of mercy that comes to make a way. A lamp for our path that was darkness, eternity's secret revealed. A hope to illumine these shadows, a love that was born to heal. And we will in the darkness our hearts will not fear. Drawn to the hope of salvation, we wait for the sun to appear. And we will
pray. Lord, we are grateful for the gift of your presence in our lives, for you are called Emmanuel, God with us, the gift of your Son that comes into our midst. This day we pray and ask that your presence would guide us in our daily lives, that as we gather as your people in worship, that we may truly sense closeness of your spirit and the gifts of your whisper speaking to us. We are mindful of many who need your healing touch this day. We pray and ask that you would be with Kayla and her family, with Elliot, with Jill, with Sue,
with Nancy and with Heath. And there are other names and situations on each of our hearts, and we pause in silence to offer our own personal sharing with you, O God. Oh God, for your word comes to us in so many surprising and different ways, and oftentimes in places we least expect it. Open us, open our eyes, our hearts, our minds and spirits, that we may truly seek your light, may be open to the power of your joy, and that each of us called as your disciples to bear witness to the power of your love, through the gift of salvation that is offered freely to the world. So today we again gather to offer to you ourselves, our lives, and the spiritual gifts that you've given us, that we may truly bring about your reign, your kingdom here on earth. So bless us together as a community of faith, as we sing the power of your prayer taught to us by your Son, Jesus. Our Father, Lord, on heaven's high throne, most holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth in heaven the same. Give us this day the food we need, forgiven may we be. Into temptation do not lead, from evil set us free. Yours is the kingdom unto you, in grateful we bow. And yours the power, Lord, let us view your mighty presence now. The glory yours, praise be sung by angel hosts and friends. In every land, by every tongue, forevermore. Amen. This time we are grateful to have our Chancel Choir share with us the gift of music.
No room, no room, no room, no room, no room, but there.
We want to remind you that there are opportunities to invite neighbors and friends. As we heard on the video, that 8 out of 10 said if a person invited them to worship, they would come. So we have materials to help you with that. And they're back at the information desk. It kind of shows all of our services. And in fact, we'll have 2 pre-Christmas, Christmas Eve services, as well as 5 on that Christmas Eve, because it turns out Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year, so I'm going to be in church 24 hours. No, I'm not going to be that long, but we're going to have a lot of opportunities for people to come and experience the birth of the Christ child. As I said earlier, our sermon series is be focusing on Joseph, and the theme is faithful, seeing the Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. And so there's not very much in the Bible about Joseph. In fact, there's probably about 16 to 20 verses, but so we have to kind of glean from history and some oral tradition to truly understand the role that Joseph, who was Jesus' earthly father, played in his life. And today we begin by looking at that we know that Joseph was a carpenter. In this particular scripture, Jesus is going back to his hometown as he has started his ministry of teaching and sharing of parables and performing miracles. And so he goes back to his hometown, and this is his reception. When Jesus finished these parables, he departed, and when he came to his hometown, he taught the people in the synagogue. They were surprised and said, "Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get the power to work miracles? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas his brothers and his sisters? Aren't they here with us? Where did this man get all of this? Where did this man get all of this?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the power and the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, coming to us anew and afresh in this season of Advent. Help us in preparation and preparing our hearts by looking at the life of Joseph, and allowing Joseph to transform us, to change us, much like he did with you. Surround us and bless us in these moments, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The true beginning of Father's Day occurred basically around St. Joseph, or Joseph, Jesus' father. In fact, that date in the Catholic tradition is in March. And it's the Feast of St. Joseph. And it's considered, within the Catholic tradition, the Father's Day, when we celebrate Joseph as the father, the earthly father of Jesus. We, as well, in the United States, did not catch on to that until later, when we have Father's Day that we celebrate in the month of June. And in fact, it started in a United Methodist Church in West Virginia that began that practice in June of celebrating Father's Day. And so we are looking at the gift of Joseph as the earthly father of Jesus. And we hope that when we look at Joseph, that all of us, in one way or another, will see what it means to pour ourselves into the next generation, be it our own children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, whatever it might be. How do we pour into and offer ourselves, much like Joseph did and Mary did, into the life of Jesus, and how that prepared him for his earthly ministry among us? So 3 questions I want us to kind of think about during this whole sermon series is, what can we learn about God in the Joseph story, in Joseph's life? What can we learn about ourselves from the Joseph story? And lastly, how does Joseph shed light on the meaning of the Christmas story? When we look at this particular passage that's before us, obviously Jesus has been teaching already. He's been sharing parables and is recognized as a wise teacher. Back in his hometown, they've heard about him. He's become a little bit of a celebrity, and because he can also perform healing miracles. And so they've heard of Jesus, and he comes back to his hometown, comes to his home church, and there he gets up and he begins to share. And it's interesting to kind of get the reaction of the church family that he grew up in. From this, we get a hint that obviously Joseph was a carpenter. But it's interesting, if you really read the questions they ask, they're asking like, well, how come Jesus has all this wisdom? How can Jesus, who grew up here, how can he be anybody special? He's just like one of us. Wasn't his dad a carpenter? Wasn't his mom married? Didn't he have his brothers and sisters or among us? How has he gotten this gift? It's interesting how they react to Jesus' ministry. And in fact, in other places in the gospel, Jesus says it's hard to be a prophet in your own hometown. And yet, it is through the life of Joseph that we hopefully can see the gifts of Joseph's life, how it poured into Jesus, and how we can experience and understand the gift of Joseph in the life of Jesus and how we can live that way as well. Well, the first thing we realize is we get from this passage that Joseph was a carpenter. Now, when we think about the word carpenter in the Greek, in this particular passage, talks about that many, in Palestine, there's not a lot of wood. And so most of the wood was limited to the uses of within a home, because most of the homes were built with stone. But you needed a door, you needed furnishings, tables, cabinets, other utensils that were made of wood. And so that's the kind of carpenter that Joseph was. And of course, Jesus, being the oldest, would work alongside his father. And in fact, in many traditions dating back to that time, you would learn as a child, you would learn the trade of your parent. So whatever your parent did, that was you were learning that trade. And so he was learning the trade of how to be a carpenter. Now, as I think about carpentry, or if you think about carpenters, you know, people who work with wood, what are the attributes? What are the attributes of a carpenter that kind of stand out in your mind? What are some attributes do you think that Jesus gleaned from Joseph, his father being a carpenter? Now, we're going to do a little participation here today, so you see that you're staying awake. So I want you to lean over the person next to you or around you and begin to say, so what are some of the attributes you would think a carpenter would give to Jesus? What were the attributes that Joseph, as a carpenter, gave to Jesus? Okay, so ready, set, go. All right, so when you think about carpentry and attributes, what do you think? Okay, so I see that there are some attributes you're thinking about with carpentry. Well, one of the things we could see is that taking a piece of wood, a carpenter has to have patience and determination, because you take just a piece of wood and somehow transport and make it into a table or some other utensil, that it takes a little bit of work, that you can't just do it off. Except many carpenters can do it by heart because they have done this practice over and over and can see somehow out of this piece of wood what the table will look like. There's a sense of that attribute of thinking about the process. And we can see that how that might have influenced Jesus and how he did his ministry in helping people think about the processes of their lives. Or another attribute we would see that a carpenter would have is change, literally transforming wood into something different, something new, something creative. Those are things that Joseph probably gave to Jesus in and through his ministry. Now, there is other materials, and when we say there's only about 16 or 20 verses about Joseph in the Bible, there are other materials, apocryphal materials, which means hidden, that have been developed or were written during this period of time, that gives us even a little bit more of the imagery and understanding of Jesus growing up in a carpenter shop. And in fact, in the Gospel of Thomas, there's a cute little story where Jesus is working with Joseph in the carpenter shop, and as
Joseph measured something. He measured it a little. He made a mistake in the measurement, and they cut the board too short. Now, in the gospel, Jesus sees this, and he sees how stressed his father is about this mistake. And so the gospel, that little story, says that Jesus then added that piece of wood back on so that it would fit right in. Those are kind of the interesting stories of hearing that there are other materials that help us to see how critical and how important it was that Jesus was shaped by Joseph, the carpenter. That Jesus recognized that through his life of learning about the process of working with wood, he learned a lot about creation, about how the process of transformation and change can help in people's lives. Joseph was a carpenter. And it was a carpenter that really shaped Jesus' life. As we said earlier, it's interesting how his hometown people are like, well, can anything good come from a carpenter's son? It's almost that kind of attitude. And how could this special gift of God happen in this carpenter's son, Jesus? And yet we know that Joseph's understanding of the role of Jesus as the one who has come from God. And yet Joseph took it upon himself to raise Jesus, to teach Jesus, and to share with him. Now, we probably see glimpses of this in some of the stories that Jesus tells. When he tells the story of the prodigal son, Jesus gives us a picture of the Father who reaches out and offers great love and mercy to the prodigal son coming back home. You can only kind of think about it as that was Jesus' relationship with his father, Joseph. He knew his earthly father, Joseph, loved him deeply. Not only that, in many times when Jesus would teach the disciples, he said, greatness comes in humility, in the humbleness of every day. Probably a character piece that he learned from his father, Joseph. In being humble in your work, and that the work of your hands creates new and wonderful things. The power of understanding that Joseph poured his life into Jesus is something that we can grasp on too. Not only do we pour into our own children, our grandchildren, nieces and nephews, our own family, but really the call for all of us as disciples and followers in this community of faith is to truly touch and encourage and lift up the children in our neighborhood, the children who come to Sunday school and to worship, the ways that we truly can be like Joseph, that we would share life, tell the stories, show the transformation, allow people, especially children and youth, to experience God's presence. Just as Joseph poured into Jesus and shaped his life, we are called to shape lives of young people in our midst. And we take that call very seriously. It's a part of who we are as a community of faith. Just as Joseph did that to Jesus, so we do to our community. And invite others to come and experience the power of God's love and God's grace. Now, I ran across a little parable about a carpenter shop, and it had all the tools there, and the tools were having a conversation, and you know, sometimes these tools weren't getting along very well. And in fact, they were having a little meeting, and the other tools were kind of upset with the hammer. And so they called the hammer forward and they said, "Hammer, you're way too noisy. You pound all the time. We want you to leave." To which the hammer said, "Well, I think if I got to go, then the screwdriver needs to go, because you have to turn him around and around to get him to go anywhere." And then the screwdriver said, "Well, if the hammer and the screwdriver have to leave, then the plane has to leave, because all his work is on the surface. There's no depth to what he does." Well, the plane said, "Well, if I got to go, then the saw has to go, because the changes the saw proposes always cut deep." Well, the saw said, "Well, if I have to go, then the ruler has to go, because he's always measuring folks as though he is the only one that is right."
And finally, they all said, well, if we all have to go, then the sandpaper has to go because the sandpaper always rubs people the wrong way. So they're having this big argument, and in the middle of it, the Jesus, the carpenter, comes into the midst, and he's building a pulpit. And he takes each one of those tools, the hammer, the screwdriver, the plane, the ruler, the sandpaper, he uses it all to create a community, a pulpit, where the Word of God is expressed, that the glory of God's good news is offered. In essence, God takes the flaws of our lives, much like a carpenter when they see flaws in a piece of wood and somehow manipulate it and repair it and make it whole so it's incorporated into the beauty. In the same way, God takes each of us and reminds us that maybe there's a little bit of carpenter in each of us. As we truly shape not only those lives into our families and those of our friends and neighbors, but also to the strangers in our midst who need to hear the powerful gift of God's love in Jesus Christ. May we allow Jesus, the carpenter, into our lives, especially as we come forward today to receive the very gifts of his life. As we offer and experience Jesus' transforming presence, much like a carpenter changing a piece of wood into a beautiful table, may we too experience that overwhelming transformation of God's love given to us today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the power of Joseph's earthly father, Joseph. And the ways that he taught Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the ways of life. And how he gleaned from him the gifts of life, the truths of life, offered in and through your love and care. So bless us on this journey of seeking and understanding Joseph, that it may truly challenge us in our own spiritual journeys of life and faith. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Likewise, after supper, he took a cup. And after he gave thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. In the United Methodist Church, our communion is open to all who want to come and experience the overwhelming love of God in Jesus Christ. As we had shared in the message this day, may we come and experience God's transforming love in and through the gifts of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. We invite you, as the ushers will guide you from the outside aisles. If you need gluten-free bread, we do have that available to my right, your left. And so if you need that, we invite you to just make sure you come down this side. There's also baskets there for our offering to the food pantry that others may, who are hungry, may eat. We invite you then to take a piece of bread, and if you're so able, to kneel at the railing, and then return by the center aisle back to your seats. We will also bring communion up to those in the balcony. However, if you would like to come and share in communion here, you're welcome to do that. As we gather at this table that Jesus set for us, may we experience the power of His transforming love, allowing the tools of Christ's life to grow in each of us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask that the power of Your Holy Spirit would enter into each of us as we share in this meal in which we remember the gift of Your death and resurrection. That as an Easter people, and as we enter into this season of Advent, may we be mindful of how You are our Messiah. You are Emmanuel, God with us. So open our hearts and minds to receiving Your Spirit today. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
does the Father guard your heart, for now so you can sleep tonight? Go to sleep, my son. Go and chase your dreams. This go to sleep, my son. Baby, close your eyes. Soon enough you'll save the day. But for now, dear child of mine, oh my Jesus, thank you.
Let us share in the prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. God of all generosity, we thank you for your gifts, for your Son, Jesus Christ, the nourishment of his body and blood, and for his presence with us now. Send us out into the world, accompanied by Christ, to take his presence to those who wait without the hope you have given us today. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Again, we're glad to have each of you here. If you're a visitor or guest, we're especially glad that you're here with us. We invite you to stay for a time of coffee in our friendship room, which the Lewis Friendship Room is right directly behind us. And also there's information at the information desk. And if you're so able, we invite you to stop and peek into the chapel as well as our round table room after the service today. So let us stand as we share in our sending forth together. And will you join me? Follow the light of hope's guiding star. Seek the child. Listen to the words of the heavenly host. Find the child. Offer as gifts the best that you have. Serve the child. Peace be among us. God be with us. We go as disciples to be a sanctuary of Christian hope, love, and encouragement in the heart of Sioux Falls. Our sending song is Joseph Dearest, Joseph Mine.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. First United Methodist Church has three worship services every Sunday, 8:30 traditional service, 9:45 unity, a vibrant multi-generational service, and 11 o'clock modern, a casual upbeat modern service. If you want more information, call 336-3652 or check our website at www.sfumc.org. Thank you for worshiping with us, and may you have a God-filled week.